My question for you this morning, I know you are ready to celebrate Memorial, and we have a lot of things happening today, but would you think about a little bit with me, what will happen if Jesus comes today? What would you be doing when Jesus comes? And some of you would say, well, I'm not worried about that, I'm about to die, so, you know, every day we can die and blah, 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 but there's a fatalist side and there is the Christian side that we're going to look at today, and I want you to think, what would happen if Jesus comes today? What would you be doing when Jesus comes? It's a very difficult for me to share with you because I know you've been long a Christian walk. You have a really nice, faithful service to the Lord. But it's always something that I try to do to myself and question. I can get so busy. I can get to do a lot of things. But am I doing it with the right motivation? Am I doing it with the right heart? Am I just doing this to everybody to see me? I mean, I'm trying to impress my parents. I'm trying to impress my wife. The heart of my question is, what is it that we're doing to be prepared for the Lord's coming? And Thessalonians, the first letter and the second letter, Paul addresses this very important issue. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus will be back. So many times we get so distracted in the things that we do every day that we forgot that Jesus might come today. And when Jesus is in our heart, Jesus is in our mind, we always think about, when is he coming? When is he coming? I remember when my wife was in love with me. She still is. I remember seeing her through the window, waiting for me to come back home. I was so sweet. You don't do that anymore, do you? Well, those who know, you know, it's like, oh, she's waiting for me. She is expecting for me to come back home. And that was such a blessing, that's such an encouragement. And that's what we're seeing here. This is finally, brethren, finally, after all these things that he's reminded people that Jesus is coming again, says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed on and triumph. And says, as it did among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. I'm not going to go further in that verse. It's a lot of explanation that I have in my three-page sermon. But the main idea that I have in here is, what are we going to do with Jesus coming? Do you remember the first time you hear about Jesus coming? It was maybe the first time that he came. It was on a Christmas evening or a Christmas day. But what happens in our Christian walk when we think about the second coming of Jesus? What happened? Do you remember who told you about Jesus? Was that person interested in you when that person talked to you about Jesus? And the reason I'm asking you that, because I'm assuming that you have heard about Jesus so many times. But now, the second question I have for you is, who are you telling about Jesus? Can you relate to someone in your friends, in your family, that you have talked to them about Jesus? And I remember when I was in Nebraska, we were in Nebraska a week ago, and one of the friends of mine said, I don't like when you preach, you get too corny. I saw, like, what is that word? You know, and I'm like, well, it's too cheesy. So what is wrong with asking people, when is the last time you shared Jesus with someone? When is the last time you say, hey, you need to get ready, Jesus is coming. Hey, let's get ready, Jesus is coming. And there is a famous joke in our Spanish language that there were two friends talking about, one of the friends to the friend, to his other friend said, hey, you know, I owe $2,000. And I need to pay those $2,000 in a month. His friends tell him, oh, don't worry about it. 2 weeks before the month, hey, I still haven't paid those $2,000. Oh, don't worry about it. The night before, the friend comes back and says, hey, you keep saying don't worry about it because you're going to lend me the money? No, I just told you not to worry about it, but now you have to worry about it, you know? We tend to be, oh, Jesus coming. And we make that as if, that's what I was telling Brother Kurt, what would happen? What if Jesus will come? I'm going to tell you today, church, Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. And you don't have to wait for the world war, all this world, all these COVID things. We don't have to be expecting on the outside what's happening outside of the church. We know in God's word, according to what the Lord plans for our salvation, we know that the Lord needs to come soon. It needs to be coming soon. One of the things that I enjoy about this passage is that not everybody has faith. It's a privilege for us as pastors, as missionaries, for having people who have believed in the gospel. Because when we have somebody who believes in the gospel, that means we are having a very important thing. We're a team. We are a family. And we have a privilege to tell others about Jesus. I like the idea of when we talk about having the spiritual glasses. When you put your spiritual glasses, you're going to get to see people in a way that God sees them. And you're going to understand this morning, we were driving here. Did you see that accident? It was a horrible accident. It's 270. And I wish I can just pull out of there, pull out and go and ask that person, are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to encounter the creator of the world? I didn't know if that person died or not. The car was flipped. I don't know if anybody else saw that in the coming. Well, that's what happens when you run late to your meetings. So I was like, I wish I can just pull over and ask that person, are you ready to meet Jesus? Do you know who you're trusting for salvation? And you know, those things sound really cheesy maybe for so many people, but are so vital in the face of eternity. So many of us get caught up with the temporary things, and it's normal. One of the things that we have is we just have such a short vision of what is eternity like. And we work for the things that are temporary. I spent 2 years working in different companies just trying to make a living. I don't mind making money. I don't think anybody here minds making money. It's not about life, it's about making money. When we are Christian, we're being called, and I got all this passage, and then maybe we can go on the next one. Please. We have received such a precious gift, which is salvation. It's a precious gift that not everybody receives. And we don't receive salvation not because we are better than anybody else. We receive salvation because God has planned that for him to be performing a changing in our lives. When I was talking to Naum, one of the contacts that we have on Chesterfield, he told me, I need to quit drinking. And I said, why? I don't know. I just need to quit. Why? I want to be a better husband. Why? I want to be a better father. Why? You know what I was expecting for you to say? Sometimes we pastor or missionaries, we always ask questions that if it's not what I'm thinking is not right. Regardless what he wants to say, even if he says right, I said, I think you should ask the change in your life because you want to glorify God. Not just because you want to be a better father, you want to be a better citizen, because you want to be a better person. You know, everybody does that. That's the right motivation for so many people. But for you and I as a Christians, when we receive God's grace for salvation, our purpose is to glorify God. Hey, I changed. You did? Don't you see it? And I was making fun of, we have a sister in our church in Mexico that she was always like her face like this, and we always teach her like, hey, her name was Maria. Hermana Maria, are you happy? She's like, yes. And I said, hey, why don't you tell that to your face, you know, and tell that your face. And, you know, we get so frustrated because she was like, I am happy. And she's like, sometimes I just forget to smile. Right. Put on your smile and say, I love Jesus. God loves me. He loves you. And we can talk to people about Jesus. And we can say, I'm going to tell you this, not because I'm pressured by my pastor, not because I'm pressured by the deacons or by the elders. I'm going to tell you about Jesus because I want to glorify God in my life. This language that I use, this ear and these eyes that I have, I want them to be glorifying God by seeing at you, looking at you, and by telling you about somebody who can take you into the next step in life. So many people are caught up in the past. The only thing, and we were talking with this family, and they said, we've taken our girl to psychologists or psychiatrists. I mean, that's great. I believe we have a lot of science and technology to help our health. When we talk about salvation, when we talk about the importance and the difficult dealing with sin, what's the only solution? The gospel. That's the gospel. And that's why I didn't want to work for a company that will pay my bills. I didn't want to work for it just to make a living. I want to do my job because I want to glorify God. When I come to church, I don't come here to church to see people see me, how well I'm dressed, how well I dress, or my big smile or no smile at all. I want people to say, hey, we're here to glorify God. We're here to make disciples. And I like what, that's one of the biggest things about listening that I like on your website. You have said to make disciples. It's a personal, very definite situation that you have to decide. I'm going to make disciples, not because the Bible says so, not because this, but because of that. It's because glorifies God. There is no more important thing that you can do in this life than glorifying God with your life. Everything that you say and everything that you do, if you do it right, if you did it wrong, hey, I was trying to do my best for glorifying God. And I know it's about to take a nap, sleep. I still have some minutes. So I would like just to say this is a prayer. And this is a prayer that we want to have for us. Lord, and that's what you do when you acknowledge Jesus, he is your Lord. That means he is Lord, right? Jesus is Lord. So if we were kind of Pentecostals, I would have you repeat that 10 times. But I'm not Pentecostal. I'm just making sure that you know that Jesus is Lord. He is the Lord of my life. He is the Lord of my family. He is the Lord of my service. So we call him, say, cause your word to run. To run. Don't slow down. And the reason I'm saying that is because every time, I don't know if you remember the Old Testament, there was a fight that Moses was there. And Moses has to raise his hands. And when he was raising, all the school teachers, the Sunday school teachers are really excited about this lesson. And I love that lesson. And Moses raised his hands, and battle comes to victory. His hands, his arms get tired, and they start being defeated. Every time pastor is here, there must be a team of people praying for him. Every time that you have a person that you're going to share the gospel in the hospital, when you're going to see a neighbor, when you're going to talk to a neighbor, you need to ask somebody to pray for you. We got to, I'm speaking here in practical terms and also in what we need right now. I go out every day. I get in trouble every day. I was about to call police the other day. I get in trouble. But we don't preach the gospel to get in trouble just because we are troublemakers. We get to preach the gospel because we know it's salvation for the people. So every time you're going to share the gospel with someone, call someone else and say, hey, I'm going to talk to my sister, to my brother, to my dad, to my mom. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I need you to pray for me. Isn't that a blessing? That means God is into saving people, and he's not waiting until they die so he can rescue them before they die. God wants to save people today that they can change their lives and become people that he wants them to be and start glorifying him. And that's why the speed of the prayer to the gospel to be moving. That's why you and I have to be praying. And when pastor, anybody, any of the leaders in the church tell you, pray, oh, I tell Victoria when she doesn't want to pray, hold on, Victoria. I'm blowing so the prayer gets out on the ceiling. Maybe Jesus can hear it. Sometimes we pray just, Lord Jesus, thank you for this beautiful day. Amen. And I mean, sometimes it's enough. But when I'm talking about the importance of salvation, the importance of making disciples, the importance of the Great Commission, we pray for people's salvation. And we only say, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to pray. I'm going to tag my brother. So right now, as a practical exercise, I'm going to ask you to think about the person on your left. So for this, throughout this week, I'll be praying for Brother Brian. I get points for that, right? I'm praying for the help. I'll be praying for him that every day he gets out to preach the gospel. The gospel is preached, and it's preached with speed. Not that he's going to speak faster, but God is going to work in the person. This is nothing magical. We just read it there. We just read it before. Pray for me. Pray for us. And now, if you take prayer lightly, you really haven't been in any issue lately, because usually when you are in the deepest problems is when your prayer life either develops or escapes. And most of the times, escapes, because we get too worried about what's going to happen, who's going to pay the bills. You know, we get temporary things in our way. But when we pray, and when we pray with a prayer that is as in 2 Thessalonians, I was speaking in Spanish, 3, chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3, and 5. You pray because, you know, God's salvation is available. We pray because God's grace is available. And I have more things that I can tell you. I have more slides. This is the praying for saving grace. Next one, I will finish with, this is the verses that I've been using, the saving grace that we need to share. And the next one, those are just 2 Thessalonians. Next one would be strengthening grace. And that is telling you the importance that you don't have to do the work alone. That's why we have a church. That's why we have a group of believers that trust in the Lord, that believe the same thing that you believe. But you know what? Sometimes we forget that Jesus will be here soon. And the final one, I think we have one more. That's going to take you to the next one, serving grace. We need salvation, we need strengthening, and we need saving grace. The saving grace, the strengthening grace, and the service grace. One of the most important titles in 2 Thessalonians, and I will finish with this, is the Jesus coming. But also, Paul is asking his believers, what is your labor of faith? That your labor of faith, he speaks a lot about labor of faith, and that's what I think is our service. You can come and say, Pastor, I will be vacuuming the carpet the rest of the year. That's great. But what is your service? Is it related to the building? Yeah, it's related to the building. But also, who are you praying for? I'll be praying for Brother Brian. Brother Brian will be praying for, you will be like your left side, right? So you'll be praying on your left side. But not only to pray because he's my buddy. We're going to pray to push him to share the gospel with someone. You know, angels want to do this. They want to present the gospel. They can't. He has given to us as a church. So right now, today, you're going to be hanging out with your friends and you're going to have all this family coming over. There might be a time that you'll be able to present the gospel. But before you do, text someone and say, will you pray for me? I really want to share the gospel with my family today. Isn't that amazing when you start asking those kind of prayers? I know prayers are important. We know a lot of people are sick. But when you say, pray for me, I'm going to share my faith with someone. How amazing that our texts get so filled with prayer requests. Pray for me, I'm going to be sharing the gospel with my grandkids. What a privilege. Let me tell you a story. And then they start telling stories and everything. Okay, you know, there once upon a time, there was a man. And all the grandkids go like this. Tell me everything. And then you start telling them about Adam and Eve, and they did this, and then God to create a redemption plan. And number one, is Jesus coming today? What are you going to do? What are you going to bring to him? Are you ready to meet Jesus? I'm not going to help you. I'm just saying, are you ready to meet Jesus? Because how many people of your family have been baptized back there? Do you have a baptistry there? How many people of you are following? They say, I want to go to seminary, Pastor. I want to take those courses. I want to serve in the BBS. I know the importance of salvation. I know the importance of the gospel. If nothing else, you say, I will be a prayer supporter. Every time you're going to go out, just text me. Pray for me. I'll be sharing the gospel today. That simple. That makes a huge difference. That means eternity is in your eyes. So if Jesus comes today, are you ready? I'm not ready. Tell you what. Maybe, brother, it's going to change my, for next year, they don't hire me as a missionary anymore because I'm not ready to meet Jesus. I'm not ready because I know he still wants to work in me. He still wants me to share the gospel with more people. But I'm trusting whenever his time, he will call me home or he'll come back second time. That's what I'm hoping for today, that Jesus comes. Right? Amen? I have a lot of things to say, but I think that will wrap up my thoughts. I have more conclusion in there. That will be that the Lord, what's that? The Lord of peace. That's what happens when you're ready to meet the Lord. He will bring you peace and say, Lord, take me home. Come home. Come church. Pick me up. The last thing I have to say, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that we have preached when we present the gospel. That's what we need, prayer. Thank you for listening.